This old deck's kind of strange.
Where did you find them?
It's an unspoken rule not to use somebody else's cards.
Who cares?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome home.
Thanks. I literally just walked in about 14 seconds ago. I just changed my shoes, and my shirt, like Mr. Rogers.
From the hellish drive.
The hellish commute from Fort Crapterdale.
Well, you know what would be really good to end that day in that hellish drive? What I would assume is going to be a masterpiece of horror movies.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, how could this movie be bad when it's directed by two people, which are the writer and producer of such classics like Expendables 4? I mean, nothing says horror movie like PG-13.
Oh, God damn it. It is PG-13, so they're not going to show any of the gore. There's going to be no gore.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be that subtle gore, if anything, right? Or really bad CG gore.
Come on, I can't. Really?
Yeah, I mean, this movie was directed by... I mean, there's no way it could be bad. It was directed and written by the person who did Moonfall.
Oh, my God. I wish I knew that before we decided to go see this. This is definitely a watch-on-streaming movie.
I guess the big question is, will this become talking trash?
Oh.
We're talking about a movie called Tarot.
Right? Tarot. A film that we've seen pretty much the whole thing of in the trailer. Because they show every monster. They show every death. There's nothing left to the imagination.
Well, this is before and after reviews, right? So this is where we give our thoughts before and after a brand new movie in the movie theater without spoiling it. But I have a feeling that the second half of this, after we see it, we will come out and be like, no, fuck it, we're spoiling this thing.
I have a feeling that's going to happen.
Yeah, because we already did a whole month full of movies that came out recently, which will be going on during this month, of brand new theater releases that we thought were terrible. We can't keep doing that. We can't keep turning them into talking trash, although it really is easy.
I know it is. I mean, okay. I hate PG-13 horror movies. It's very rare that we find one that's really, really decent.
I'm sure we could do a big list of movies that are PG-13 that were actually pretty good.
But I mean, when you have monsters and you're giving the illusion of gore, but there's no gore and everything is all the deaths are like off screen.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
You know, it sucks because when I saw the trailer, I said, you know what? This could be unique. And this could be done well. I know it won't be. Mm-hmm. But my first thought was, you know, that itch, and this exists. You know, that the late 80s kids, the 89, 88 kids that were born in 88, 89, grew up in the 90s and saw their first horror movies. What we've come to know now that the kids of the 90s, you know, the young kids of the 90s seeing horror movies for the first time, their big horror movies are like the best to them. It doesn't matter how they're okay or they're crappy. They're the best fucking movies ever made. And two of those movies, of course, are Scream. And the other big one that a couple that I keep seeing everywhere mentioned in those weird 90s movies that like stand out for these younger audiences are Ghost Ship and 13 Ghosts. Now, I don't understand either one of those loves. It's been a very challenging thing to understand. I would love to do a talking trash episode on 13 Ghosts. It is an odd one, but I do understand that horror community loves that movie for one particular reason.
What's that?
There's some cool creativity in FX makeup, you know, and also the house is pretty damn cool. There's a really cool set design to that movie and a cool idea that you can grab all of the ghosts. You know, you can make all the 13 ghosts and you can make them unusual and you can do a lot of like crazy cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That movie has stood the test of time for some strange reason because of those ghosts. Now, you know what it also could be? It could be Matthew Lillard, because, I mean, Matthew Lillard is some kind of 90s hero to horror, newer horror
Matthew
audiences.
Matthew Lillard is so sweet. I love him.
Yeah,
for
great.
Many reasons. But
yeah, I love him too.
I don't think that movie was good, was particularly a decent movie.
No.
I thought it was kind of silly when you think about it.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring it up is that this could have used that same concept of each card has a different ghost or monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that could be very interesting.
Well, that's what they showed us in the trailer.
Yeah. And so I'm like, that's a really smart idea to capture an audience. But here's the big issue with this. None of the what we see in the trailer of the ghosts are particularly, they don't, you know, stand out like the 13 ghost characters do.
No, they don't.
I mean, there's a naked woman with her eyes scratched out in 13 ghosts. You know, these are things that 90s kids are going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, the jackal was neat. I mean,
everybody loves the jackal.
Everybody, a couple people we know have cosplayed as that.
Yep, yep. And so that could be that thing. This could be that, you know, scratching that itch. Unfortunately, it's PG-13.
Yeah, there's your problem. So you're telling me that these people are running for their lives and screaming and flailing about, and they don't even say, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Well, you get to have one, right? You got to use it very smart. You can have it like one boob, right? One pair of boobs.
There's not going to be a boob in this.
There could be a flash. There could be one F-bomb.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any of that.
I doubt it. But it is an interesting conversation of like what this could be. We don't know yet. We haven't seen it, but I'm already judging it very harshly. We're going to come out hating this, right?
I think I'm going to hate it. Yeah, I really do. I don't want to be like that.
Will it be more on the side of like, oh, just miss the opportunity? Will we be both being like, oh, it just could have been something?
Yeah, we're both going to come out saying the same exact thing, that they or had potential, but it messed it up.
Or are we just going to come out and go, woof? what do you think the percentage is, the possibility that you'll come out and go, I'm actually surprised I liked it?
The percentage of that happening is about, I would say, 2%. Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's just not.
So about the same as something you would find in the dairy section. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're going to see this as a hate watch.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? You know, I saw someone recently making an interesting commentary on this, that people need to stop going hate watching movies. And they were saying that what the problem is not that you're seeing movies and supporting movies. You're going purposely because you know something's going to be bad. So they make more bad movies because you're giving those movies money. But I'm like,
why do you think we go see M. Night Shyamalan movies? Because he's this amazing, brilliant filmmaker? No, I like one of his films. That's it. His films are crap. All right? We can't forget that happening.
Not all people
actually
agree.
Happened.
Not all people agree.
That's
a lot
true.
Of people like him.
And I apologize if I've offended anyone, but we watch M. Night Shyamalan movies because we want to see just how bad they'll be. And we know it. We know it. Then that's what we do.
And so we're a part of that hate watch crowd. I find that whole debate that people shouldn't go hate watch very interesting. I'll never stop. You're never going to stop me.
No, we have bad movie night. We watch trash for fun.
You know, I tell everybody, though, the reason we mostly do this is because we're looking for the diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's very important to see a bad movie to understand how bad something can be. We recently have been joking around about, we see a lot of people's lists on Instagram, a lot of fellow movie reviewers and fellow movie fans. And we see their lists that they make and their rankings. And we're half the time appalled. And I guess that comes up to, of course, everybody has their own opinion and everybody has their own tastes. I mean, some people hate pickles and some people do.
People hate pickles?
Yeah, I think those people who don't like pickles, they scare me.
Savages.
But just like I would scare them because I like pickles. But those tastes are fine. But when you think that something that's clearly underwritten, underperformed, and full of bad moments, comparing it to something that might have something to say and has really good acting and some good moments of directing and stuff like that, to say that one is, oh, I love that. You know, I always find that a fascinating debate and a fascinating conversation. But a lot of the time, I'm like, how do you see that better than this movie? But I'm so interested in that. But again, of course, this is a separate opinion.
I mean, it is. Right now I'm wearing a Waxwork t-shirt.
Yes. And there you go. That's a perfect example.
I love this goddamn movie. And a lot of people will probably be like, oh, that's a piece of crap. First of all, how dare you?
But
Number two, it's freaking masterpiece.
Oh, that's where I was going to stop you. I was like, please don't say it's a masterpiece.
It's not a great movie, but I love it.
You know, it was a Nightmare on a Film Street just put up.
I saw that. I did comment.
No, they put up what is everybody's favorite bad horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, a horror movie that you know is bad, but you love it.
Oh, I put three.
I put like five.
So I said Witchboard because that movie is just bad, but I love it.
Yeah.
Troll 2.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Troll 2 is so bad.
It's kind of great, though. It's kind of great in its badness. But well, at least we can admit that it's bad. See what I'm saying?
Some people can't do this. Of course. I mean, I know it's bad. I know it. But what can you do?
I find it all fascinating. And I think that's why I'm so intrigued always to see any horror movie ever made. I will admit, though, there is that big problem that's going on where movies are just like getting slammed out. Because horror movies make money. And they're cheap, so you can always make a profit. They're just pushing these suckers out to try to get a buck.
Yeah, they really are.
And a lot of those companies that were basically the who you look up to, like Jason Blum, are now starting to make the wrong decisions. So you're seeing all these companies, and then you see other little companies going, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also not realizing, no, they're not taking a chance. They're not actually doing something interesting. They're pushing out factory made crap.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like this movie is going to be like that, but I'm intrigued to see it regardless because of it. I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what though? And there's also that ounce of how a review could be like, I suggest you see this because it's so funny accidentally or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's other possibilities of why this could be a good time.
Oh, I've recommended movies like that all the time. Yeah. Like, I mean, so much in the past where the movie is just so like, oh, holy crap, that I'm recommending you see it, even though it's not a great film, but you just have to see it for yourself.
Yeah, we do that every November.
Yes, we do.
Turkey Fest, we tell everybody, hey, we got some real stinkers that we absolutely love.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're going to come out with a low score, as we think, right? So
I'm pretty sure I'm going to come out with a low score. Yeah, I'm probably
2%. 2% chance.
There's a 2%. Okay, all right. There's a 2% chance that I'll come out saying, oh, that was decent. There's a 90% chance that I'm going to say this movie was...
We're going to say 100%. There's no way we're going over a 6.
Oh, my God. So that's not even possible.
That's the 2%. The 2% is a 6.
Okay.
Because there's no way we think that we'll be under anything over a 5.
It's not going to be over a 5. Let's go get a beer because I need one before I watch this. I can't handle it.
What are we doing with our lives? Let's go see this thing.
Wild cards in a circle. One more at the heart. With this final card, your reading will start.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
Follow one rule to stay out of danger.
Hello?
You're never to deal with a deck of a stranger. The Hermit. Magician.
Priestess or death?
Whose face will you see?
When you take your last breath.
In the blender and bake it.
It was chopping.
Whatever.
We're back, everybody. We saw a movie. And all the drinks in all the world were never enough to put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Oh my God.
You know, we got our fortune read to us. And it came out exactly the way we thought it was going to.
What, that I'm drunk?
Sure.
That fortune?
Well.
You predicted the future.
I did. The movie was a mess. A complete disaster. And here's the thing. It's not that it was terribly directed. It's not like an awful looking film. It looks okay. I think the big problem here is just how dull it is. It's kind of lifeless. In fact, it's so lifeless that there are no other human beings in the existence of this world. They're in a college campus that they conveniently say, everybody is at a party.
Is that what they said?
At one point. But then no one ever shows up again. And there's two cops in this movie and you can't even see their faces.
There's a cop?
There's two cops and they interviewed them after their first death. And then you can't see their faces. You see the shot from behind them. They did not want to pay anybody else. Extras were not a part of this movie. Everything takes place in an abandoned location in the middle of nowhere. Even on a college campus, there's nobody. There's a part in this movie where they drive on a bridge and there is no cars.
Yeah.
It's just, it's incredibly lifeless in a way where the whole film suffers from how lifeless it is because you feel it in every aspect. The deaths seem like they have, like you're supposed to feel something, but the characters are so completely void of emotion that you don't give a shit.
Were we supposed to care about them? Because I literally didn't. And I'll tell you what, I don't like that fucking actor that plays Ned in Spider-Man.
You don't like
There's
him.
Something about him, and it goes along with the guy who plays Sam in Game of Thrones. There's something about him that I don't like either, and I can't pinpoint it, but I just think...
Sounds like you're going after heavy people.
You know what? That's rude. That has nothing to do with their weight. Well,
why did you bring up one?
Because I have the same feeling towards the two of them. So, Sam from Game of Thrones...
So you're telling me there's nothing to the fact that there are two heavier people.
No, they're both completely repetitive, annoying characters that have no business being in this world, okay? Like, at all.
In the world?
In the world that they're in. Not our world. The actors deserve to live. I'm just saying the characters that they're playing. And also, the guy who plays his Sam in Game of Thrones. He's been in other movies that we've watched recently that I literally just want to punch him in the face. I don't know what it is. I don't like him. And the same goes for this guy here who plays Ned in Spider-Man. I don't like him either.
Well, the actor who played Sam, I liked him. He was in Three Body Problem, and I didn't want anything to happen to him in that show.
I didn't care.
Okay.
I didn't care if he did.
All right.
I didn't like him.
Okay.
I'm just saying that this character, this is the worst character in the movie. He was supposed to be the comic relief, I guess.
He was the only one that had any personality. There's a main guy in this movie. Like, you know, you have your two leads. You have your female lead and the male lead. They're supposed to be the couple. All these horror movies kind of do this. This male lead was so detached from reaction in the movie. At the end of the movie, he sees something that should scare the ever-loving shit out of him, or he should be shocked or sad. He just keeps doing a face of like, what?
Yeah.
It's intense. And I would say that the actor you're talking about at least tries to bring some kind of something to the film.
I mean,
Does it work? No, because the script is bad.
But he's the same exact character in Spider-Man, okay? I'm just saying.
Yes, he is.
That's what I'm telling you. The character is the same exact character.
Well, unfortunately, that strikes up to another conversation of being typecast.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks for him. But I gotta say, also, the other characters in this movie, they suck. I hate to say it, but the characters are unlikable. I got nothing. I got nothing for these characters. I'm supposed to care? Like, of course the bitch that drags everybody into this whole thing gets to live at the end. What? What? Like, that's just not right, okay?
That's called a spoiler.
You know what? Whatever. Too bad. Spoiler alert. I don't care. This movie sucked.
Would you like to start over?
I told you. I'm like, okay, go ahead, start over.
What do you mean start? I'm not starting over. That's it. It's in. I don't even care at this point.
This movie sucked. Like, the whole entire movie was given to us on a silver platter. It was like, okay, so we're going to read your fortunes to you, and it's going to tell you exactly how you're going to die.
Yeah, it's actually very eye-rolling that they literally tell you how each character is going to die. So it's not even a shock. You just know it's what's coming. So when the scene starts, oh, and by the way, you're forced into seeing every ghost scream at you. Yeah. If you think screaming ghosts are really cool and inventive, you're in for a good treat. But otherwise, no. It's a joke because it's all the things that we have problems with in horror movies are 100%, you know, in this movie. They have the large cord striking to tell you scare, and then they have a ghost jump in front of you and scream. And it's not that it's scary, it's annoying.
It's cliche.
It's pushy. It's telling you over, it's beating you over the head with its obnoxious, you know, its obnoxious tone of telling you, you have to be jumping. You have to do this. And it's not inventive. And in fact, one of the things I talked about in the beginning was that you can have those ghosts that are inventively, you know, creatively made and do something really interesting that would make you stand out. Unfortunately, here we have what? Abraham Lincoln. There's a ghost that looks like Abraham Lincoln.
He's a magician.
Sure. He looks like Abraham Lincoln. He's a monster. And there's one that looks like Gollum. Now, you think Hangman. You think, oh, that guy's going to have like a hood on his head. He's going to be scary, big buff guy or something like that.
Yeah.
No, Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Nazgul at one point. You have, it's just very, it's just the easiest spit out ideas possible.
Yeah.
The characters, when they say dialogue, like things like, it's fate. Oh my God, how do we stop it? The cards are cursed. Things like that.
Yeah, and of course, there's always one person who knows everything.
Search about online. We got to see if anybody knows how to do this.
Oh, yeah.
We have her number. Let's find her.
This one lady put her address and phone number online. Let's go find her. Okay, that's normal.
She sacrificed herself on the cards to curse them, to curse you all. That's the kind of level of bad writing. It's just so cliche, so funny, that it gets to the point where it's so dull that you can't even laugh anymore. You're just kind of like, oh God, make it end.
I just wanted it to end. I even went to the bathroom during this movie, and I never get up.
I told you, don't worry, go to the bathroom. No, nothing's going to happen.
And I literally came back in 30 seconds, which was a world record, and we were still in the same scene.
I just went, oh, that current character's dead. That's all you have to know.
I mean, it was so pointless. They had every cliche in this movie that horror movies have. It was just like, all right, can you do something inventive? Like, I like the whole concept of the tarot cards, like reading each, you know, individuals, you know, give them all a reading and telling them basically their fate, but it was just too in your face.
Yeah,
it feels like
it should be something better with that premise.
Yeah, they could have gone a different route with this. It was a cool idea, but they just didn't execute it properly. And we're supposed to care about these characters, but we literally know nothing about any of these people, except two of them used to date. That's the end of it. Like, we don't know anything about these people.
I know everything about these characters. I know so much about it because in the tarot reading, you find out everything.
Well, she just tells you what you need to know, like about the basic, you know, how they're going to go out. It was so obvious. And I wish that in this movie, if you're going to give us these different monsters for each individual death, I like that concept. But I just wish they would have shown them more. You know, like, give us a little bit more. We didn't get anything. There was nothing. And also, I was right about the deaths being on the side, like, side off screen, you know? They didn't show anything. There was nothing. This movie was not, they didn't even have a fuck in this movie, like, at all. So, it was so bare bones. It was for the tweens. There was nothing here. Nothing at all. At one point, I was like, do you have any more alcohol?
Nice.
I was like, we came from dinner, we had some beer, and then we smuggled in more alcohol into the theater, and it wasn't enough to get through this. Like, I just wanted to go home.
There's also this other thing I have to point out in this movie that I feel like we have to talk about. So there's the cliche character in the movie where it's the character that knows everything, and so they have to call that character. Usually this is what you put somebody really famous in. Usually it's like, oh, it's somebody everybody knows. You know, you got your David Tennant playing Peter Vincent in Fright Night's remake, or Roddy McDowall in the original. You have always had that one character shows up and is like, that's the big person. You know, Tony Todd in the Vincent Crawley films, right? Victor Crawley.
Victor Crawley.
You have all these characters in all of these movies. It's the one that you go to. Dennis Hopper is like the revenge father in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Well, this movie has this really awkward, weird thing where they have an actress who I know in things, but she is not very well known. She's one of these character actors who like dies a lot. And she is shown in this movie like she's supposed to be extremely famous. And you're supposed to go, oh,
that's so-and-so.
Yeah, it's so-and-so. She comes out of the shadows. They blank her face out. The only reason to do that is if, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, Sissy Spacek walks out.
Oh, my God.
You know, something like that. It's like, oh, my God, Sissy Spacek. How'd they get her? But, no, this is the actress that in the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the newest one on Netflix, that terrible one, she was the one that played the actress that was, like, they casted her to pretend that she was the actress from the first one. And they, in the movie, they just literally kill her and throw her in the trash. That's this actress. Like, why did they pick her? And I think she was also in Mandy and she gets killed. And also the movie The Northman. Like, why are they acting like she's somebody that gets to have that role? And then they're like, oh my God, look at this reveal. Like, it's just so odd.
I mean, so that wasn't her in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, because everybody was insulted by it. Like, well, you're going to take that original character and you're going to throw her in the trash.
I mean, why?
Like, it's so stupid.
Why would they do that? That makes no sense.
But yeah, she's in this movie for no reason. It just feels very out of place. Every time they show her walk out of a shadow or have a big reveal when the door opens and she walks in like a badass for no reason. It should be like special. It is unwarranted and it is completely unnecessary to the way that they film this.
I mean, we're not even supposed to know who she is until she has to explain who she is. It's like, okay, this is dumb. Yeah. This is not how you do a movie. Like, we're supposed to like care who this person is? No. She just happens to be that cliche stereotype in all the horror movies that knows everything. Yeah. She has to give the whole backstory and she knows every single thing and she's been looking for this tarot deck for 30 years or whatever.
This is something that bothers me about it is the movie structure is really bothersome because the movie starts off like a comedy.
It kind of does.
It starts off with like fun music and a party characters and all talking and doing dumb things and making jokes. And then it gets serious out of nowhere. And then it ends the same way it starts, like some kind of wacky comedy, which sets you in a tone where the movie doesn't even take itself seriously. And then it ends in a way where it doesn't really take itself seriously. Is this a comedy? Is this a horror movie? Am I supposed to take it seriously? The movie already is structured in a way where it's bookended, telling you that this is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't take this seriously. So why would I give a shit? You know? So if your movie starts off like that, you already have a problem. Now, what's really crazy is that exposition dump character we're just talking about. She tells an entire backstory of the tragic past and why the thing is happening. Why don't you start your movie like that?
Right. Exactly. Right?
Why don't you structure? Because
there was no need for her to be in the movie until there was a need for her to be in the movie. So that's why.
She could be in the movie to tell the characters what's going on. But we could already have learned it in another way. We could have seen what happened in the movie before and get us emotionally involved and be like, oh, you got to set it up and you got to set a tone and you have to get us giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie didn't even care to do that properly.
Yeah, see, this is what I feel like with these characters, though. Like, speaking of giving a shit, it's like, there's no reason for us to give a shit. So, like, if we don't care about these people at all, there's no reason for us to care. We weren't told why we should care. Then at least give us the gore. At least give us the amazing, weird, like, crazy death scenes.
Yeah, I mean, this is important. And
they didn't do that. They didn't do that. Like, either do one or the other. Make us care about these people or give us the death scenes.
It's so important to, if you don't have one thing, you overdo on the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when a movie has a weak script or a flimsy plot line, you usually hammer in to one of the two things. FX, like makeup, special effects, something to awe at.
Mm-hmm.
And gore. Like, you go really heavy on violence. Even hell, nudity. Mm-hmm. You do something that makes people go, oh, because you gotta. That's why so many action movies constantly have these action set pieces pieced out throughout, you know, like peppered in. Because if you have a weak script and it's very flimsy, if you think about it too long, you want to keep hammering in the audience, tricking their minds. Now, I call this the Emmerich effect. Roland Emmerich famously puts out movies where when you see them, the spectacle is so big, so amazing that you don't think about his movies at all.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of go, wow, look at this.
That's true.
And everybody did that with Independence Day. It blew our minds because it's explosions and it's fast, it's so much going on. Then you think about the plot and you're like, did they just put an iMac into an alien computer and stop it somehow? And then you go, oh my God, that is so stupid.
They gave it a cold.
Yeah, they gave it a cold. And you really go, what happened there? Why did I not realize this when I saw it the first time?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those movies that you tell your friends about and go, oh my God, you got to see this movie. It's so amazing. And then they watch it and they go, that was really stupid. And then you go, you watch it yourself and you go, why would everybody hate it? And then you see it for the first time, like anew, and you go, oh yeah, that was really dumb. What happened? I was tricked by the nudity, the violence, the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do one or the other. You got to get people involved in a different way if your plot is weak. And this movie was weak in plot, weak in character, like the effects, and weak in the monsters.
Yeah.
So all together, it just made you go, all right, I just want to get this done now.
Yeah, that's the way I felt. Like,
yeah.
And I, you know, we were drinking, and you think that would like help us along, but it actually was like kind of sobering me up because I was like, all right, I'm bored, really bored. It wasn't fun at all.
We have to talk about that too, because there's another thing this movie does, because they realize that their movie is very dull. They keep doing this thing where they shine bright lights at the whole movie's dark. But then they will wake the crowd up by just shining flashlights in your face.
That was crazy.
There's like multiple scenes throughout this that just make you go, oh my God, what the, you know, like they have like car lights or a character has a lantern or there's a fire all of a sudden out of just complete pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you're almost blinding because the movie is so dark that it's like, wake up audience, snap out of it.
Yep.
It's
bad. Bad. It's terrible writing. It's terrible. It's just, I mean, and also I got to say, I do appreciate movies where the cast is relatively unknown actors. I appreciate that a lot because it, you know, makes for a better movie watching experience a lot of the time when, you know, it's not, because you always know, oh, this guy, he's famous. He's going to survive. So I like when they have relatively unknown actors. But there was nobody in this movie that, like, was likable at all. Like, there's always one person you root for. Like, a final girl or something. Nothing in this movie. It just didn't do anything for me. I didn't care about any of these people.
Yeah, that's a big deal, too. I know a lot of movies try to hinge on that idea. But, well, the mystery is that you don't know who's going to die because everybody's either famous or they're not. No, you always pretty much know who the main character is.
Yeah.
And so, like in The Thing, it really would have worked if Russell Crowe wasn't the main character, you know, in The Thing. So you kind of already know that
Russell Crowe?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. I apologize. We also just saw a trailer for a movie that's exactly another movie Russell Crowe did, where he plays a priest again in a horror movie.
Oh, and it's so confusing.
I thought it was the sequel. It's not. He made two priest movies. Like, are you kidding me? Everybody's confused by it. So that he was on my mind a little bit. But yeah, Kurt Russell, you know, Kurt Russell is the main character in the movie. It's no trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's no trick to it. You already know who's going to be the main character. And so it's not a shock when the main character is or isn't, you know, going to be that. But in this movie, it's like you said, it would be interesting if you don't know who the main character is, but make everybody the main character so you kind of care everybody. But you have this one girl that they're focusing on.
Yeah, and I don't give a rat's ass about her. Sorry, I took my shoe off.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, so she, whatever she does and what she says, if she's going to be the focal point of the movie, you have to write her the best. And unfortunately, they didn't. They wrote her very, very cheesy. Literally, they lose their friends, and she's just, like, joking at the end. And it is very, it's very poorly done in a really sad way.
It's like, not just her, though. The other two guys are laughing it up, and they're driving and laughing it up. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, okay.
About the deaths of their friends.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But what would you give this out of 10?
Well, I said that I would probably give it a really low score, and I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible filmmaking, but it was not good by any stretch of the imagination. It was not good.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen way worse. I mean, it could have been even more embarrassing. It could have been like a Sci-Fi Channel movie. So it's not that far down, but it does have almost everything that you don't want to see in horror movies. So unfortunately, I'm going to go 4 as well. I feel like it's almost lower, but 4 seems right now. So yeah, that's our thoughts on the movie. We had a lot of rants, a lot of drunk mishaps here.
Sorry, and, I took my shoe off.
We're doing what we're doing, and that's what we're putting out. And hey, everybody, sorry about that. And you know what? Have a good one. And check us on Instagram at Crafty Misfit with Joe and me on Just Another Movie Night. And till next time. Hopefully, it's a little more
organized because
of a podcast.
Well, this is what happens. You can't smuggle in alcohol in the theater.
Okay. So have a good one. Bye.
Who's next?